Let us pray.
Almighty God, make your word a swift word, passing from the ear to the heart and from the heart to the life, that as the rain returns not empty, so neither may your word, but may it accomplish that for which it is given. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God always accomplishes its purpose. Hear again the words out of the book of Isaiah for this morning. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. What a remarkable promise. What a strikingly different tone this prophet takes as he speaks to the exiled Jews in Babylon than the other prophets that we've heard from before. You know, before the exile, God's prophets conveyed his displeasure with his people at the rampant injustice that characterized their community. The pre-exilic prophets called God's people to repent and return to the Lord by working justice in their communities. Without this, the prophets warned, the day of the Lord is coming, and God will dispense God's own justice. When Jerusalem fell to Babylon, most of God's people interpreted that day as the day of the Lord. As the generations passed on in exile, many came to believe that they had forever lost the promised land because of their failure to keep God's covenant. And then, remarkably, God sent a new prophet to his people in exile with a new message. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that she has served her term. I will honor my covenant to David by making with all of you an everlasting covenant. This prophet spoke words of forgiveness, redemption, and restored relationship with God, words of hope to those who had lost all hope for their futures. And our passage today comes from the end of this prophet's writing. God says, "My word will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose." The word of God always accomplishes its purpose. One of the theologians that I read this week noted that the promise is even more powerful in the original Hebrew, where God says, "My word shall accomplish that which I delight in." The word of God always accomplishes its purpose, delighting God. Now, the evidence for the truth of this promise can be found throughout Scripture. There are many, many passages that we could examine, but let's focus on two that especially resonate with our text today. First, in our passage, the prophet compares the word of God to the rain and the snow which come down from heaven and do not return until they've watered the earth. Let's pause there for a moment, because my Jewish version of the Old Testament translates this as, the rain and snow don't return until they have soaked the earth. That's important for God's desert people. The rain and snow do not return until they have soaked the earth, making it sprout and giving seed for the sower and bread for the eater. If you want to know how God's word works, look at the way God designed creation. Human beings need water to sustain us, to bring forth food from the soil. Desert people, and this summer, Dallas people know that more keenly than many. Here, the prophet speaks of water that comes down abundantly from heaven, soaking the earth. These images in Isaiah of water soaking the earth, of soil and seed, they evoke the very first images given to us in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, each time the word of God is spoken, a new aspect of creation comes into being. Isaiah's words resonate most closely with God's description of God's creation of the third day, where God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. That's how God's word is. God speaks, things are transformed, and God is delighted. In our text for today, God sends the prophet to speak God's words to a people in exile, words of forgiveness, words of redemption and restored relationship. And this creation imagery that the prophet uses reinforces the message. The word of God has been accomplishing God's purpose, delighting God from the beginning of time, the prophet says. Trust that the word of God will accomplish its purpose now. Here's the cool thing about the prophets. They absolutely spoke to particular people at particular times in particular places, and their message was absolutely addressed to that context. And yet, the prophetic voice transcends time and specifics of situations. This is because, as Jewish theologian Susanna Heschel has said, the prophet hears God's voice and looks at the world with God's perspective. And God's perspective is vastly larger than ours. So God's word, spoken to one group of people in a particular time and place, have meaning to other people in other contexts, even years later. And as a result, 500 years after our text today was written, another community of Jews found themselves in what seemed like a hopeless situation. The one believed to be the Messiah, the one in whom they had placed all of their hopes, had been killed. Now, these Jews expected that the Messiah would bring them political independence,